Kip, thank you for joining us. What I wanted to ask you about is, can you kind of talk about, is there a deal or will there be a deal to rebuild America's broken infrastructure system? Obviously, we know what happened yesterday. Can you just kind of talk to us about, you know, where things are now and what is the concern of your organization?
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, with regards to yesterday, it appears that politics got in the way of policy yet again, you know, and at least in the short term. But that being said, and to your point, you know, the dispute between the president and Democratic leaders in Congress really has nothing to do with our nation's desperate need for greater investment in our infrastructure. And it should not prevent our government from addressing what should be a top national priority. And, you know, when you look at support for infrastructure investment in Congress and in Washington as a whole, the fact remains that infrastructure is a bipartisan issue. And despite yesterday's theatrics, we as an industry, and I think the broader infrastructure community, remain encouraged by the momentum that has been building over the past months, and certainly coming out of that first meeting that the president had with Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader Schumer, and the possibility of a grand bargain between Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that voters sent their elected officials to Washington to deliver on their promises and their repeated promises, I might add, to make our communities and our nation stronger. And I think politicians just need to step up and put country first.
Man, what, you know, you talk about maybe what you're hoping for will happen. Will it be something that maybe legislatures will just pretty much have to do on their own and just send a bill, you know, to the executive branch? What do you think might be next?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to look for. First off, you know, we've got the Highway Trust Fund, and that needs to be reauthorized by October of next year. And it is in a world of financial hurt, let me tell you. When the current law expires next year, there will be an $18 billion average annual shortfall between incoming trust fund revenues and what's needed to maintain current federal highways and transit investment levels. So there's the sort of, you know, roads and bridges piece of infrastructure. And I feel pretty optimistic that we will get a bill passed and signed by the president to reauthorize, you know, the current legislation and keep the federal highway trust fund going. The other part, and I think this is a bigger point, is that, you know, what we really need is we need a grand bargain. You know, we need a bold piece of legislation that looks at not just roads and bridges, but looks at infrastructure as a whole. That means waterways, roads, airports, rural broadband, schools, you name it. You know, infrastructure as a whole. And there, I think there's a lot of work still to be done, because it's going to come down to how to pay for it. And Democrats have one way of looking at that. Republicans have another. And I think all too often, that's where they get stuck. That's not to say that the pay fors aren't important, but I think what they ought to do is they ought to look at this as an opportunity where you have a Republican president, you know, Democratic House, where both sides want to spend a lot of money, and they just got to figure out a way to do that, because our infrastructure, you know, is in a poor state. For example, you know, there are about 235,000 bridges in need of repair or major rehabilitation. In Ohio, that amounts to about 1,653, or 6% of all the bridges, are in poor state of repair. 17% of Ohio roads are in poor condition. So we can't afford to wait any longer.
All right, I think finally maybe you could also talk about economic impact of that, because your organization, I mean, you're talking about businesses, labor union sectors, transportation, a lot of certainly economic, you know, indicators there and implications, if you will, when you get going on infrastructure. That puts a lot of people the work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And let me tell you, at $1 trillion, which is what the president had talked about repeatedly when he was running for office a few years ago, $1 trillion investment in an infrastructure is estimated to create about 11 million jobs, new jobs in America. That's a lot of jobs. And at a time when our industry and other industries in manufacturing particularly are struggling with finding enough skilled labor, finding, you know, the right type of qualified people to help build equipment or other things, you know, that does sort of pose a workforce challenge, right? It's great that we're creating all these jobs, 11 million, potentially more, but we also have to fill them, which is why, you know, there's also this push in Congress to tie infrastructure and workforce development together, so that any large infrastructure bill will also include, you know, things for apprenticeship programs, money for vo-tech schools, and to really not only invest in our infrastructure, but to invest in the people that we need to build our infrastructure. So I think that's important as well, as Congress starts to think more seriously about a grand bargain to include workforce development in that legislation.